WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Praise God. It's Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, and around the globe. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, live in the radio station, regardless of the fact that my Indianapolis Colts are playing right this moment. Devin Allis, are you on with me?
We're here.
You know what? I've got Matt, our engineer, and you guys know Matt and what a sweetheart he is. I've got him in there watching the game in the sound booth, and we just saw that incredible pass for Peyton Manning, and we just saw a minute ago when I walked in the station, it was 17 Jets and 6 Colts. Are you guys watching it at all? No, we're not.
No, you guys aren't into the Vikings.
Well, that's fine, too. That's good. That's the next game. That's cool. Did you think they were in this game, Deb?
No, I did not.
I'm teasing you. No, so we made a sign, and I've got my engineer here on top of this situation. And right now it's 17-13 Jets over Colts. But, hey, we got plenty of time left, and Peyton's got a hot arm. So how about that?
You know, Pastor, I'm sure there are some people listening that do not know what a humongous football fan you are and how much football you really watch on a daily or weekly basis during the season. So this is kind of cute.
Well, can you guys see? Can you see me on video, Deb and Alice?
I can.
Well, you see my new shirt?
I see that. Where did you get that?
Indianapolis Colts. I walked into church this morning, and Catherine and Michelle walked in and gave me this lovely present. And so I am wearing my new present, and it's my beautiful blue Indianapolis Colts shirt. And all of my Colts buddies up in Indiana, so you know where we stand here. I was born in Indiana. I don't know if you guys know that. Lived there for a while until we went to the mission field, and that's where my kids, two of my children, and my grandchildren are. So they are all hooping and hollering right now for the Colts. So, you know, hey, that's just where it is. What can I say?
We know what a huge Colts fan you are.
It's true. It is true. So anyway, so Matt's going to keep us on top of this situation through the show today, guys. So I am so thrilled to have Deb and Alice on the show with me. You guys are always such a blessing, and I love having you with me. It's great.
Well, we love being here.
Yep. And just in December, you were here 2 Sundays in a row. We were so blessed to have you here.
That was awesome.
Some of you in the listening audience maybe don't understand that Deb and Alice were here with us for many months and have become a part of the staff of Beacon of Hope and have critical roles, important roles, which I'll tell you about that in a minute. But they were transferred. Alice was transferred back to the Houston area where they came from, where their kids and grandkids are. A few months back, and so now we have to share you with Houston, and that is not fun for us.
Well, just so you know, I'm born and raised Texan, but my heart longs to be back in Florida.
Well, is that perhaps why you put that sticker on my refrigerator in the garage when you were here that says, "Don't mess with Texas," maybe?
Well, you know, we had to leave a little piece of ourselves with you.
Yes, you did. That's beside my I Love Palm Harbor sticker. Anyway, we're just so glad you guys have joined us today. God is doing incredible things. Answers to prayer, Deb and Alice. Answers to prayer. Alice, you head up our prayer team. Are you there, girl?
Yes, I'm here.
I tell you what, you know who walked in the door today was Nan. And what a huge praise report we had from her on email this week after last Sunday morning service. Do you want to tell them what happened to Nan?
Well, she was having problems with her back.
Yeah, serious.
And it was affecting her legs.
Yes.
And through prayer on her part and prayer of the members of Beacon,
yes,
and prayer from our awesome prayer team.
Yes.
That is a global prayer ministry.
Amen.
She received a healing with her back, and we got an awesome praise report. I believe we got it last Thursday.
I think so. Yeah. And she is just, she gave it verbally in church this morning, and everybody was hooping and hollering and praising God because Nan has had such a serious back problem that she had to physically lift her leg in and out of the car. She could not, you know, make herself go in, get an out, in and out of a car without lifting her leg. That is gone. She's able to get in and out of the car. She is able to sit up in bed instead of rolling out of bed. And we just praise God for the progress and the absolute wonderful pain relief that she's been having this week. And I told her this morning, come up at the end of the service, let's pray over you again. Because, you know, we do that a lot, don't we, guys?
Yeah, we do.
Yep. And, you know, it's just incredible. She's just believing God for total and complete healing, but she's so much better. What a huge praise report.
And, you know, that's the secret to prayer.
Yes.
Is your faith and your belief.
Yes.
And, you know, prayer alone sometimes for someone can heal them, can bring them relief, whatever you're praying for.
Right.
But the most important part of that is that you believe, if someone's praying for you, that God is going to answer that prayer.
Amen.
And it may not be the answer that you want, but in Nan's case, it was.
Yes, it was. And one of the things we're going to talk about today on the air is the power of love and compassion when we pray for people and what that's all about. And we're going to also talk about those difficult people in our lives. And how do we love them? And what do we do about that? And what does God's word say about that? Deb and Alice, it's going to be a powerful show. I am excited that you both are on the air with me today. We're going to start with this song from Third Day, Let Me Love You. And then you two stay on with me. And I'm going to start teaching in the book of 1 John. If you have your Bible out there in Radio Land, you can find that. And by the way, we welcome all the new stations that this station has purchased up in the Arkansas area. And we know that some of you are listening these days, and we welcome you to Beacon of Hope's Living the Good Life. So go find the book of 1 John back by the book of Revelation in your Bible and listen to Third Day sing, Let Me Love You.
Ever since the world around you shattered, you've been looking everywhere for something more. Sometimes you feel like your life doesn't matter, but it does. I tell you it does. Oh yeah, come on, let me love you now. Come on, let me love you and hold you through the storm. Keep you safe and warm. Come on, let me love you now. Come on, let me love you and kiss away your tears.
Come on, let me love you now.
Praise God. That's God saying, come on, let me love you. And I love that. That's a great song by Third Day, and it's a great group. Come on, let me love you. God says, let me hold you through the storm. And that's what he's wanting to us to get that message today, how much he loves us, how much he wants to take care of us. Deb and Alice, I know you're on, and I'm going to teach for the next few minutes, and then I want you to jump in here in just a few minutes. Let's start with 1 John chapter 2. Let's go there because God is saying he loves you. And every one of you listening today, we've been teaching this series in the month of January, Michelle and Pastor Jim and I at Beacon of Hope, and we've entitled it Living in Love, because God wants us to live in this, in his kind of love, the agape love. He doesn't want us to just know about how much God loves us. He doesn't want us to just think about, oh, maybe I should love people around me a little bit more. God wants us to put it into action in our lives. You know, it's not enough to just know about God's love. We need to experience it for ourselves. Whoops. All right, we just had a song come on there. Sorry about that. We need to experience it for ourselves. And in 1 John chapter 2, looking at verse 24 of 1 John 2, it says, stay with what you heard from the beginning. The original message, let it sink into your life. I want to talk about that. Deb and Alice, if you got a pen where you are, take some notes here and let's talk about this stuff in just a second. Let me just set the table here for us. Let it sink into your life. If what you heard from the beginning lives deeply in you, you will live deeply in both the Father and Son. This is exactly what Christ promised, eternal life, real life. We're going to talk about living deeply in God, and it is all about love. Living deeply in God is all about the love walk. Let's go on here into verse 26. John says that there are people who try to steal that love walk from you, people that try to get you to not walk in the God kind of love, that instead give you a hard time maybe for what you believe in, or maybe they challenge you about that love of God that lives deeply in us. And John talks about God's anointing. That's his presence. God's presence in our lives is his love for us. It is all about loving us so much that he comforts us, that he brings peace to our troubled times, that he teaches us not to worry, that he gives direction and guidance for our lives. God loves us so much that he cares about our heart's cries when we cry out to him, when we talk to him and say, God, I've got this issue or that issue. God loves us. It's all about God's love for us. And looking down at verse 28 of 1 John 2, and here's what John says. And now, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears, ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives. Guys, we don't want to when Jesus comes back to take us to our eternal reward, we don't want to have to stand there and be full of excuses why we didn't understand what God was all about. Guys, God is all about love. He's all about accepting you right where you are and offering you forgiveness. In fact, a part of our mission statement at Beacon of Hope says that we are endeavoring to teach the love, acceptance, and forgiveness of God. And if you look at those, love, acceptance, and forgiveness, it spells L-A-F, laugh. And when you really understand how much God loves you, how much he accepts you right where you are, how much he forgives you, yeah, it causes you to want to laugh. Look at 1 John 3:1. And then I'm going to bring Deb and Alice in here in just a minute. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Guys, this is enough to get really, really happy about. Now, I'm really happy about it when Peyton Manning, you know, throws a touchdown like he just did a few minutes ago. But how much more the fact that this huge, wonderful God that we serve loves us so much that he calls us his children. And because we're his children, we are loved by him, a love that we can't even comprehend. We are the children of God, it says in verse 2 of 1 John chapter 3. And we also go down now to verse 8 of 1 John 3. I want to give Deb and Alice plenty to comment on here. And we talked about this morning in our service at Beacon of Hope in Clearwater. And I love that 1 John 3:8 in the New American Standard that I memorized it in so many years ago, that the Son of God entered the scene, came on the scene to undo or destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy in the original Greek is luo, L-U-O, and it means to undo, to loosen. In other words, God sent his Son Jesus to this earth to teach us how much he loves us and to undo all the work that the devil does against us, all the tricks, all the lies, all the suggestions, all the times that the devil tries to destroy you. The devil tries to tell you that God doesn't really love you. I want to bring Deb and Alice in now, and I want us to talk about the schemes of the devil and how he is the liar, which is what John says in John chapter 8, that the devil is a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. And the devil doesn't read your mind, but the devil suggests to your mind. And then when you open your mouth and say the things the devil is suggesting to you, it gives it power. Like, for instance, if you're feeling very down on yourself, if you're feeling that God is upset with you, mad at you, that God doesn't really have a plan for your life, and you begin to utter that stuff, you play right into the devil's hatred of you because the devil hates you. Deb and Alice, are you with me?
We are. We're here.
All right. Alice, I'm going to pick on you first.
I had a feeling you might.
You really? Okay, you got an echo going there. Matt, I don't know if there's anything you can do about Alice's echo or not. But what happens, Alice, is that so often the devil really does suggest to us that God really doesn't love us that much. And he certainly doesn't accept where we are in our lives. And he certainly doesn't like us, or maybe he's mad at us. Have you ever had anything like that happen to you, Alice?
I have. I have fallen for it hook, line, and sinker. So if anybody else has fallen for it hook, line, and sinker, don't feel bad because you're not alone.
And you're a fisherman, aren't you? A fisherwoman. Hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. What happens, Alice, when you're throwing that pole, you know, the way you do? I've seen you do it at the causeway, and you throw that line and that bait and that lure out there in the water. And what is it you're hoping for when you throw that out there, Alice?
I'm hoping that a fish won't realize that it's there's a hook attached to that bait, and they
okay.
will grab the bait, and I'll be able to reel that fish in.
Right. And I've seen you actually do that. I've also seen you throw it many times and nothing happens. But anyway, I say that to say that so often the devil throws us that hook, line, and sinker thing, you know, and sometimes we're just gullible and we just go for it, right?
Yeah, we do. We do. And we get caught when we do that.
Because what is it the devil trying to do? And can you give us an example in your own life or anything that relates to this? And I know, I'll tell our listening audience, we don't plan what we're going to say here. We let the Holy Spirit lead us. So these aren't prepared questions or anything like that. So I am putting them on the spot live right now, Alice.
Well, we do fall for some of the tricks of the devil. And as far as a personal experience, you know, there was a time in my life where I, you know, even after following God for so long and loving Him and knowing that He loved me, there came a time in my life where I was, because of circumstances happening, I was very depressed.
Right.
And I bought His lies.
Okay.
And I thought that God had abandoned me. And
wow.
I thought that God no longer loved me. And I thought that I was alone in the world. And it wasn't until, you know, 2 years later, I was in this, you know, the midst of this deep depression for, you know, 2 years.
Two whole years. Let me just say this, throw this in here, Alice, for those that might be listening today that are in the depths of depression, God can pull you out of this, right?
Amen, He can.
And He did
and
for you.
I'm living proof of that because He did that for me. It wasn't until I started going back to church, even though I didn't want to. You know, Deb was going, and she encouraged me to go, and so I went along kind of just to keep the peace.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go because in my mind, you know, there's nothing to this. You know, God didn't love me anymore. You know, He didn't care about me. If He cared about me, I wouldn't be feeling the way I was feeling. And to me, it was a vicious cycle.
Right.
But it wasn't until I started getting back into the Word, and it wasn't so much me reading the Word; it was listening to the message that the pastor was giving.
Okay.
And you know, that's one awesome thing is that, you know, God's Word never comes back void. And even
Amen.
Though I was in the midst of this depression,
yes,
that Word took seed in my heart.
Amen.
And I started to realize, you know what? It's not that God has turned His back on me, but I had turned my back on God.
Whoa.
You know, He had been
huge.
There the whole time. I had fallen for the lies that were being fed to me that, you know, I'm no good and God doesn't love me and I must have done something wrong, you know, and all this stuff. And I'm not perfect. I'm sure I know I've done things wrong in my life, but I know now, I know that God loves me despite everything that I've done.
Amen. Amen. And when we are in those situations, like you're just describing, it is a whole lot of condemnation that comes at us. You know, a whole
it
lot
is.
Of, and I don't know how you really define condemnation, except it's ill will. You know, it is lies. It is put downs. Maybe in our vernacular today, maybe a better word would be put downs. You know, Deb, do you have a comment on that? The condemnation of the devil and how he gets us to buy it?
Well, I look at the analogy of, you know, the angel and the devil on either shoulder.
Right.
And,
okay.
And a long time ago, I used to think that when I would think thoughts, that they were my thoughts.
Right.
And that I was doing this stuff to myself.
Right.
And in some cases, we all do.
Right.
But, you know, I have this little devil and this little angel on my shoulder that are fighting for my attention, fighting for my love, fighting for my faith.
Right.
In either side.
Right. It's God versus evil. It's God versus the devil, don't you think?
Exactly. And you know, there are times when I hear this little voice in my head say, oh, go ahead, you know, go ahead. You'll have fun. Go do it. Whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
And sometimes I will take a step without thinking the whole process through.
Right. Sure. We all do. We all do.
And it's those times when you take that first step in a direction that God doesn't want you to go.
Right.
You know, God gave us the, you know, free will.
Right.
It's our life to live as we choose to live it. God is hoping that we choose to live our life the way Christ lived His life.
Right.
But there are times when we don't. And it's those times that I step out on the wrong path that at some point I will stop myself and go, you know, this is just not working for me, and I have to take a step back, and I've never really been in a thought process of what would Jesus do.
Right.
But there are times in my life when I think, okay, you know, is this the right thing to do? I mean, prime example, we found a stray dog last week.
Right.
And we'd seen this dog several times, and so we took the dog in, and we are affiliated with a with an animal rescue group, a dog rescue group, and I contacted my friend there, and, you know, we took the dog to the vet, got him his shots, took him in. He wasn't, you know, neutered, so we took him and got him neutered, and, you know, the whole time we're doing this, we're saying, okay, we're going to foster this dog. We're going to foster this dog and try and find his owner or find him a new home. And but at the same time, I'm falling in love with this dog.
Yeah, it happens.
We got this dog on a Saturday morning. In fact, it was Saturday a week ago. And we'd seen the dog in the neighborhood, so we figured it had to belong to somebody in the neighborhood. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday goes by. We see no signs in the neighborhood. Nobody's walking around asking about this missing dog. I'm checking all the websites. Nothing happens. Well, Wednesday night, after we got home, somebody put up signs, and Alice saw one of them and came in and said something to me, and it just so happened that our daughter was here. And it was a prime chance for me to teach my daughter there's a difference between what you want to do and what's the right thing to do.
Right.
Because we had fallen in love with this dog. This dog
right.
fit into our house beautifully. We have cats. We have another dog. This dog got along beautifully with our cats and our other dog. Our grandkids happened to be visiting. This dog got along great with our grandkids. This dog just fit into our family. And my daughter was like, well, you don't have to take him back. You know. And I talked to the lady at the rescue group, and even the lady at the rescue group told me, you know, you've had him for a week almost, you know, he's an abandoned dog. If you want to keep him, keep him. But inside, I'm thinking, you know, what's the right thing to do? The right thing to do is to go down and talk to this dog's owner, find out the situation, and, you know, if the owner wants the dog back, give the dog back.
Right. That was the loving thing to do, right?
It was the loving thing to do. It was the right thing to do.
Right.
And
Although hard.
It was very hard.
Right.
But, you know, I go down and I talk to the gentleman, and I came back and got the dog. I took him his dog back. And the neatest thing out of all of that has happened is that this Saturday, as in yesterday, I went to take the kennel back to the rescue group because we didn't need it anymore. And we happened to take it back at an adoption thing they were doing. And when I came in, we walked up, she looked at me. She goes, no, now you need to take this dog. So now we've taken another dog in.
So you're fostering, yes.
We are fostering another dog.
Okay.
And this dog, her name is Lucy.
Okay.
And she evidently, we really don't know her background, but just from her behavior, this dog was abused.
Yeah.
She is a beautiful Australian Shepherd mix, but she's so timid. When you go walk up to her to pet her, she will immediately cower down on the floor. And she's really not doing a whole lot, but just kind of laying around and kind of hanging out. She's really not eating that much. She's still trying to figure out what's going on in her life. But if I hadn't given that dog back, then I wouldn't have the opportunity to make a better home for this dog.
Exactly.
And to teach this
yes.
dog that not all people are bad.
That's right. Praise
and
God.
Prime example of love.
That's what we're talking about. It's about,
you know,
love. Yes. Yes.
She's just a sweet dog. In fact, she's laying underneath our table right now.
Okay.
She gets along good with our dog. She gets along good with our cats. Now, we haven't introduced her to our grandchildren yet, but, you know, as timid as she is, I'm not that concerned about it. And, you know, we'll cross that bridge when that happens. But
there you go.
The point is that we are loving this dog unconditionally. We don't care where she came from. We don't care that she doesn't want to play fetch like our dog. You know, she doesn't want to wrestle on the floor like our dog. If she just wants to lay here and be, we're going to let her lay here and be and love her and take care of her, because that's what God commands us to do.
Amen.
To love our neighbor as we love ourselves, to love unconditionally. And that's what we're trying to do. And if I had listened to the other people that were around me at the time
right.
about returning this dog, if I had listened to my friend at the rescue group, if I had listened to my daughter, I wouldn't have gone down the street. I wouldn't have
right.
talked to this man, which would have been a lie.
Right. And that wasn't right either. Right. And so you did the right thing. You did the right thing.
I know I did the right thing, because it opened up a door for us to have another animal in our house that really needed the love and attention more than this other dog did.
And animals, and I have two, Bailey and Zoe, my little doggies, and they are such a blessing to us, and God put them here for a reason. They bring comfort, they bring joy. And so all of that said, it is all about love, because animals sense when they're not loved, just like people sense when they're not loved. And in this next segment, we're going to talk about what to do when you have difficult people in your lives that are very hard to love. And we're going to do that in just a minute. Deb and Alice, don't go anywhere. Stay with us. Matt, let's do some station identification. And then, Matt, get ready to give me the Colts score, will you? Okay, station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries from Clearwater, Florida. We are a global ministry, and we're going to talk about that later on. And the Colts have the ball, and we are in the third quarter. And what? They're on the 4-yard line. Matt, keep me posted here. And when they score in a moment, because right now they're down 13-17, is that correct? All right, so they're just about ready to score because they're on the 4-yard line. So, Deb and Alice, we need some prayer here. I don't know that we need to send out a prayer request, however, but.
I pray for God's will in this.
You got to do better than that. You got to pray for the Colts. You got to pray for Peyton. Boy, that's hard to say. Okay. Touchdown. All right. I just saw that the arms go up in the control booth. And for any of you out there that are not football fans, I apologize. But I really don't apologize, because the Colts are wonderful and we love football. And so that's that. So anyway, Deb and Alice, are you still there? You're laughing at me? Okay.
Yes,
you know, Friday night I had a wonderful opportunity to get a free meal, which I always long for, of course. And it's my sister Karen's great cooking, and she is just incredible and a wonderful cook. She cooks like my mom did, and I love to eat at their house. And so Friday afternoon, Karen called and said, I know that you don't want to cook for yourself and all that, so why don't you come to dinner? So I said, great. So I went for dinner, and I'm sitting at the dining room table with not only my sister and her husband, but also two of my sister's sons, their wives, and their three little babies. And I talked about these babies a couple weeks ago. Craig and Nicole have twin girls, and they're just gorgeous, Devin and Ireland. And Eric and Angie have a little boy, Austin, and his middle name's William, named after my dad, and they're having another one. So we were just having this great talk, and they said, what's on the radio this week? What are you going to talk about? And I said, well, it's going to be, what do you do when you have difficult people in your life that are very hard to love? Because I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, because I think all of us in our lives have people like this. Deb and Alice, can I hear a resounding amen from your Houston corner?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Just on cue. Look at that. We all have people that, quote unquote, rub us the wrong way, or irritate us, or say all manner of yucky stuff to us. I don't think the word yucky is in the Bible, but I think that if it would have been a popular word at the time, Jesus probably would have said it. You know, that there are people that say yucky things. There are people that do yucky things to us, that are rude, that are hurtful, that are, they diminish us in so many ways. And yet I read here in 1 John chapter 3, and I'm looking at verse 18 right here. John says this. Now, John is the one who wrote the book of John also. He's the one that wrote the book of Revelation. John is one of the disciples that was the closest to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. John is the one that Jesus said, the disciple that he really, really loved. There was this real bond between Jesus and John. And I think the reason that is because John understood the heart of Jesus. He got it. You know, so often we don't get it. You know, what is it what we're trying to get? John understood the heart of Jesus. And here's what John says in 1 John 3, verse 18. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. First of all, Alice, I'm going to pick on you first. What is he talking about? Practicing real love?
Well, I mean, it's easy to, you know, walk up to someone and give them hugs. Say, oh, love you too, you know.
Oh, yeah, don't you love that fakey stuff?
Yeah, you know, kiss, kiss, hug, hug.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult many times to practice real love.
It is.
Meaning, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how you personally feel at the time, regardless of how much this other person has just irritated and you want to just pop their head off,
right.
You still love them, meaning you deal with them with kindness, with gentleness, with true concern for well-being.
Wait a minute. I got to write these down here. And if you're listening in and have a pen or paper, write what Alice just said here. Kindness, gentleness, and what?
I forget what I said.
True concern, I think. True concern.
Yeah, true concern for their well-being.
For their well-being, yes. And, you know, you have just defined this whole concept of love, that it is more than just a pat on the back, love you, buddy. You know, it is a sincere, I love you. You know, I really love you. And it's not that we always agree with what everything is said or done from people, right? Would you agree with
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Because there's going to be times that we would just say, whoa, I don't like what you just said, you know? That doesn't mean that we don't love them.
When my children were growing up, I used to say to them, you know, I love you.
Right.
I don't like you right now, but I love you. I don't like what you're doing right now, but I love you. When they would misbehave. Or if I would do something like I had to punish them, you know, I would remind them that, you know, I love you with every fiber of my being. I love you. And I hope that you love me. It's okay that you don't like me right now, because God does not command that we like everyone.
Right.
God commands that we love everyone.
That we love. And it's that seed of God's agape love. I don't know if you've heard that you guys have, but our listeners out there, there's three kinds of love, Greek words that were used for love. Eros is sexual love. Philia is talking about brotherly love, you know, like the city of great brotherly love, Philadelphia, you know, and we're glad they're not in the playoffs. But anyway, sorry about that. Philia, that's that kind of love. And then God's love in us is agape, A-G-A-P-E. It's the Greek word for God, the God kind of love in us. That is the kind of love that God puts in our hearts when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. He puts a seed of that agape love in us. We can't love with agape love on our own, guys. I don't think we do a very good job of loving difficult people on our own. Do you want to comment on that, either of you?
This is Alice. I can comment on that from personal experience.
Just a minute. Matt, we've got a real echo on Alice's voice. I don't know if there's anything we can do about that. Well, I'll let him try. And if not, go ahead.
Is this a little better?
That's better.
Okay. I think that Deb had to mute her phone.
Yeah, okay.
I have personal experience with trying to love a difficult person.
Okay.
My mom and I, you know, of course, there's always a mother-daughter conflict, you know, when you're growing up. But
sure.
My mom was very, she wasn't very kind to me. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Saying things negatively about me, to me, you know, just beating me down constantly.
Right.
Verbally. And, it was very difficult for me to deal with that as I was growing up.
Right.
And, you know, I was always, you know, she would say something and then I would say something back and would get into this big, huge blow up.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't until I was older, probably in my 30s, that I realized that I was just kind of, you know, falling into the things that she was saying, that she was kind of baiting me
okay.
to create these arguments.
Wow.
And
people
so
can
I
do
finally,
that. Alice, people
said,
do that. They really
I
do.
I said, you know, I'm not going to fall into that anymore.
Okay.
You know, and I prayed a lot about it. And I said, God, give me the strength to be obedient to you.
Amen.
And to love my mom despite the situation.
Woo. Now, that's huge. What you just said right there, Alice, is a key to this whole thing about loving difficult people. You got God involved in your problem. Do you hear that? You
yeah.
got God involved in your problem. And I think a lot of us, instead of getting God involved in it, all we do is bellyache about it. You know? Oh, mm-hmm. did you hear what so-and-so said to me? And we go tell 50 of our closest friends. You know? Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted
to make
a point. Go ahead.
No, and I was falling for that. I was going, you know, before I started praying about it, I was doing that. I'd go tell my best friend, oh, you know, can you believe my mom said this to me? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and I just harp on it constantly, not only replaying it in my mind, but just dwelling on it and
right.
talking about it and keeping it active in my brain. But I started praying, and I said, you know, God, help me to deal with this situation.
Right.
You know, despite the circumstances, despite what's going on, help me be obedient to you and love my mom.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That was a big step for me to actually get to that point to do that.
Okay.
And
what happened?
Well, an amazing thing happened.
What?
My mom would start in, you know, with baiting me and, you know, saying, oh, well, you're this or you're that. And I would look at her and very calmly just say, you know, Mom, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I love you anyway.
Very good.
And she just would stop and just look at me like I had, you know, just sprouted, you know,
angel
wings or something. I don't know
right.
what she thought. But she looked at me like I was the strangest thing on the earth. And then, you know, a few minutes went by and she'd say, oh, well, you know, you should have done this or you should have done that. And I don't like the way you're doing this or whatever. And I'm like, you know, Mom, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I love you anyway.
Praise God. Praise God.
And
the power of love.
It took a lot of
Woo.
Time saying that. It wasn't just immediately the situation turned around and we were best buds. It took me being very constant and very persistent and very aware of what was going on with the conversations that we
okay.
were having.
That is huge so, right there. Awareness, I think,
yes.
is huge right there. Oh, okay. Don't forget where we're at in this discussion, okay? We're coming back to that point in just a minute. How do you love difficult people in your life? And before we come back to that point, Alice, can you make a note so we get back there? Listen to this song by New Song. That's What Mercy Is. Praise God. We're getting somewhere here. I hope you still have time. You got about 45 minutes left of the show. You have time to call a friend and ask him to tune in. www.tantalk1340.com. Push the listen button.
It's a million miles from a past that's haunted you forever. It's a prayer that's answered. It's a second chance for a life you never, ever even dreamed that you could live. That's what mercy is. It's a hand that reaches down and lifts you up again. Straight from heaven to a heart that's broken from the only one who'll make it whole again. It's a song of freedom, sung for all who listen. There's a door. Come back home again. You can come back home again.
Praise God. That's what mercy is, a hand that reaches down and lifts you up again no matter where you've been. That's a great song by New Song. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Deb and Alice, my guests, who are also staff members of Beacon of Hope. Alice, you're the head of the prayer team, which we're going to talk about that in a little while, but not yet. And Deb, you're in pastoral training with me because you feel the call of God on your life. Aren't you excited about God's mercy and His love to us when we don't deserve it? That's what mercy is. When we don't deserve it, God says, here, let me help you. Let me answer your prayer. Oh, doesn't that just bless you?
It does. It really does.
They said it in unison, and they agreed. I want to read something here, and then I'm going to get back to you guys. But listen and follow along with me. In 1 John chapter 3, I want us to look at verse 18. And John says this, my dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love, which is, we read that a minute ago. Let's practice real love. But let's go on and read the next few lines. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism. And self-criticism is that condemnation, that beating yourself up, that shame, that guilt that debilitates you. In other words, knocks your strength out from under you, makes your knees weak because the devil comes and tries to tell you, oh, you're not very loving. You think you're a Christian? Well, you sure don't act like a Christian. Even when there is something to it, for God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. Look at verse 21. And friends, once that's taken care of, and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, and I want to talk about this, you guys, Deb and Alice, about difficult people. I propose right now that one of the reasons some people are so difficult is that there is this whole big tape or video of crud in their heads that condemns them, which causes them to feel so bad about themselves. We call this projection in counseling terms, that they project onto others what they're really feeling about themselves. So they may be feeling less than. They may be feeling unworthy of God's love for them. They may be feeling shame and doubt and anger at themselves. And maybe they even hate themselves or they haven't forgiven themselves for a lot of things. And a lot of people that are so negative and difficult project all that onto other people. And that's what we want to talk about. But let me finish reading these verses and then I'm going to bring you guys in. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, so that's a process. We got to do something about it. We're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we ask for because we're doing what He said, doing what pleases Him. Again, this is God's command to believe in His personally named Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. This is the end of chapter 3 of 1 John. As we keep His commands, we live deeply and surely in Him, and He lives in us. And this is how we experience His deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit He gave us. So what do you think, Deb and Alice, about what I just said about difficult people and the scriptures we just read about practicing real love? Deb, you're up first. Silence. Is she there? Alice, are you there? Did we just lose
you? Can you hear me?
Okay, now we can. We just lost you a minute. Okay,
that's all right.
Talk to us about
I've
real
been muting so that you don't get reverb from Alice. So.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
I think that when it comes to loving difficult people, for me, I have to think of the golden rule, treat others as you would want to be treated.
Okay.
Because if I'm, like you said earlier, if you're projecting your feelings, your innermost feelings on other people, that's not fair to them because they're your feelings. They're not somebody else's.
Right.
And I don't want somebody to throw that stuff up at me. And as hard as it is sometimes when you have someone that is just being very verbally abusive or belligerent, to take a step back and calmly, you know, project your love for them, God's love for them.
Right.
you know, it's a hard process, but it's something that you have to do. And
that's a good point. It's projection can work both ways, can't it? You can project the negative, and you can also project to that person the love of God, that's the seed of God's love that's down on the inside of you.
Yeah, it's like when you have small children and they get frustrated, they throw their temper tantrums, they're not getting their way, whatever the situation is. There are times when you get so frustrated that you just want to explode at them.
Right, exactly.
And we've all done it, most of us, I would assume. I don't think there's anybody out there that hasn't done it at least once. But it's amazing how whenever you scream and holler at them, the response that you get back from them versus taking a time out and going back and returning a calm conversation with them.
Exactly.
The difference in you know, the interaction.
Isn't that the truth? Oh, my. Yes. And so often when these difficult people react to us in a way that is so negative, we need to step back for a second. But that's hard to do, isn't it? Alice, are you there? Talk to me about that.
It is hard to do. You know, I talked earlier about my mom and the situation there.
Yes, that was a good point.
When my mom got sick, she passed of pancreatic cancer back in 2002. But when my mom got sick, she really needed me to help her and take care of her.
Wow.
Which I did, you know, despite the fact that she was still being, you know, verbally abusive and condemning and controlling and all that. It was a difficult thing for me to do, but I did it because, you know, I'm her daughter, right?
Right.
And in that situation, I'm still, you know, trying to love her and, you know, the way that God wants me to love her despite everything that's going on. But there was a time when it just got too much for me to handle.
Okay.
And I had to take a step back. I had to call my brother and say, you know what, I really need you to come over here and I need you to deal with mom for a while.
Yeah.
Because I can't do it right
now. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I had to take a time out from the situation and, you know, get back to a place where I could deal with her calmly and lovingly. And you know, and people have to do that. You know, if you're in a situation where that is you're dealing with difficult people, sometimes you just have to take a time out from it.
That's a huge point. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know that when my daughter was little, there were times when, you know, she had just gotten on my last nerve, and we both would take a time out.
Yeah.
You know, she would take a time out, and I would take a time out. And when we had both calmed down, we could come back and talk and discuss what had happened and come to a resolution. You know, but, I really think it's important that people not feed into the negativity that surrounds difficult people.
That's huge.
If it's more than they can handle, that they, you know, take a time out and step back. Maybe it's a friend you're dealing with or a coworker or something, you know, and sometimes you just have to shut your office door or, you know, not call that friend for a few days or whatever the situation is. And just take a time out and, you know, get yourself back, you know, whether it's into God's word or, you know, whatever the situation may be, that get yourself back to a place where you can deal with them. And then you go back and you continue to love that person.
You know, I think that's huge. And if you're taking notes right now, this is another thing that you can do to deal with difficult people in your life. And that is to take a step back and take a deep breath, maybe for a deep breath for a few days and before you deal with the situation again. Because I like what John said here. In verse 21, or no, it was 18. Let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. I was married to a doctor for a long time, and he did the practice of medicine. That didn't mean when he got out of med school that he knew it all. He set up an office. Actually, later on, first he was an emergency room doctor for a while. But when he did set up a family practice, it's called a practice for a reason. You know, you're working at it. You don't have it all down. You know, Deb, comment on that for me about the practice of real love. Can you do that? Because I think this fits in with what Alice is talking about.
It's hard if you're not used to doing it, if you're not used to living in the drama of life.
Right.
You know, one of my daughters is constantly got this drama going on.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, constantly having car accidents or, you know, not being able to pay the bills or whatever.
Right.
And I try to lovingly tell her, you know, you've tried this before. It doesn't work.
Right.
You know, so stop trying that and try this.
Right.
You know, and it's God's word tells us that, you know, repeatedly, you know, Jesus spoke in parables and told constant stories of people who had problems in their life or things that went wrong. And, you know, life is a parable. And if you take a step back and look at what's going on in your life,
right,
that's not working and try to change it and see if another way works. It's the same thing with trying to extend that unconditional love to somebody in your life who is just very unmanageable. You know, Alice talked about, you know, constantly saying to her mother, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, you feel this way, but, it, you know, I love you anyway. You know, I dealt with some things with my mother that, you know, totally different circumstance than Alice, but, you know, my mother had a very severe drinking problem.
Right.
And she also had an addiction to prescription drugs. And I don't know how many times I prayed to God to take that away from her, you know, and but it never happened. So I had to learn to deal with the situation as it was.
Okay.
And it was real easy because I lived away from home.
Right.
And so, you know, if my mother would call me and she was drunk, I chose not to talk to her, so I would end the conversation as quickly and respectfully as I could. When my mother would call me and she wasn't drunk, you know, she wasn't high on whatever drugs she was taking, then, you know, I would talk to my mom. We'd have these wonderful conversations. But I found myself at later in my life, in my 40s, having to move home to help take care of my mother.
Wow.
And that put me in a very strange situation.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's one thing when I can say, you know, Mom, I got to go, you know, I'm at work or whatever, and hang the phone up. But it's real hard when you're there in the house, you're living there, and, you know, there's drinking going on, there's abuse of prescription drugs, and no matter how you try to hide the drugs, hide the alcohol, whatever, she always managed to have something somewhere. So I had to learn very quickly how to take a time out and, you know, walk away from the situation, and at the same time, I'm still there. And I'm feeling all this for my mom.
Wow,
and
that's huge.
I really think that God put me there to teach me that there are people in your lives that are hard to love, but you just have to do the right thing, help them out. You know, John talks about...
Show God's love to them. Yeah.
People who don't have money, people who don't have food, people who don't have a home.
Right.
You know, and you have all these things. You know, you are to do this unconditionally, to give these things and not expect anything in return.
Right.
And when I found myself in that situation, my mother had nothing to give me in return. So there was nothing, it was real easy for me not to expect anything.
Right. But so often we get into these situations where we do expect. We're going to come back to this concept because I want to talk about another aspect of this loving difficult people. Before we do, I want to play this song by Michael English. And what's the score there, Matt? All right. Go Colts. They're still ahead. Michael English, Feels Like Redemption. Sorry, guys. It's just one of those days. What can I say? Michael
I'm
English.
I'm waiting for you to break out in a Yahoo scream.
All right. Listen to this song.
I know how hopeless feels when you're staring at the bottom of an empty heart. In my life, I knew how forgotten feels, wondering if the world even knows who you are. But I've never known anything, felt anything like the love of Jesus. And it's hard to describe what's happening inside, but right now all I know. Chains.
this gift of grace. Oh, and I know how healing feels. Oh, 'cause all my pain and all my shame and all my tears have been red. It feels like redemption raining down on me. It feels like forgiveness has come to set me free. All my chains have been lifted. 'Cause when the hands of love touch a broken life, it feels like say goodbye. The past is ending, say hello.
Wow, that just says it all. Connie, our music director for our radio show, has done it again. That song and the way our conversation was going, Deb and Alice, is perfect. It just feels like redemption. I know how healing feels. I love that. It feels like redemption raining down on me. It feels like forgiveness has come to set me free. All my chains have been lifted. I propose to you, Deb and Alice, and to our listening audience, that one of the reasons, let's say it this way, the main reason that difficult people are difficult is a spiritual issue and emotional hurting and anxiety and all these things in that person, which causes them to have a difficult time receiving the love that you want to give them. And I propose that this is a spiritual thing. And so I want to say this, Deb and Alice, we got to pray for hurt people that strike out and are unloving, because hurt people hurt people. I'm going to say that again. Hurt people hurt people. Deb and Alice, are you still there?
You know,
we aren't.
Go ahead.
Somebody said something in a conversation about people repeating themselves and constantly talking about the same thing or telling the same story or whatever. And as I'm listening to this song, and I absolutely love that song, and I mean, I know the words, can sing it with no problem, but isn't it amazing how God puts you in a situation that brings you one of these aha moments?
Right.
I mean, I've listened to that song forever and ever.
Right.
And as the song started, I wrote something down on my pad here. He talks about empty hearts.
Yes.
And I wrote down, empty hearts cannot love. Which is basically what you just said.
Oh, praise God. That is a rhema word from God. Empty hearts cannot love. Yes.
And that word, as I'm sitting here with my Bible open in front of me, I have a bookmarker in my Bible that's of my mother passed away in 2008. And it's my mother's obituary with her picture on it.
Wow.
And so I'm sitting here as I'm talking about my mother, looking at my mother's picture, and I'm listening to this song. And when I heard that, empty hearts cannot love.
Wow.
You know, I looked at my mom's picture and I thought, you know, my mom's problem was that her heart was empty.
Right.
No matter how much we loved her, no matter how much my dad loved her, no matter how much we did for her, gave her whatever.
There was a void.
This is just like an aha rhema moment for me.
Praise God.
My mother could not love because her heart was empty.
Woo.
And that's why she did the things
that
she did.
That's it. Yes.
You know, I know that people abuse drugs and abuse alcohol and whatever for a lot of reasons, but a lot of the reasons that they do it is so that they don't have to feel the things that they're feeling. It's an escape.
Yes, it's an escape. It's the emptiness. And what we are saying right here, and believe me, we believe this with all our hearts. I've counseled now for 25 years and pastored for that long, and I'm telling you that people's basic problem is a spiritual one. We are spiritual beings living in a physical body, and we have a soul, which is our emotions, our mind, and our will. But the basic you, Deb, is a spirit being, okay? And when you go to heaven, your spirit's going to heaven to live with Jesus forever. And what happens is so often people have deep-seated spiritual void in their lives. Connie likes to say that there is a God-shaped hole in our hearts, right?
Amen.
And that only God can fill it. And that is what we believe at Beacon of Hope and on Living the Good Life. We want you to understand you can't live the good life, the blessed life, without knowing this wonderful God that we serve and serving him with all your heart. And as you begin to fall in love with God, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. As you begin, and I'm preaching here, girls, but I'll tell you what, I preached a storm up today. And I'll tell you, we had a service at Beacon of Hope because I even said, wow, that was a good sermon I preached. But it was because it was the anointing of God. Because God was getting through to us about how much he loves us and about the fact that we have to accept that love. We can't just say, well, that's nice, God, that you love us. We have to buy it. We have to take it. We have to possess it. We have to make it our own. And when we take that love, it fills the void. And then we quit acting so ugly. Alice, your turn to respond to all that.
Well, as you were speaking, I was highlighting something in my Bible.
It's 27-17. Go Colts. Go ahead, Alice. Sorry, but I've got my...
In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, the way that we know we've been transferred from death to life is that we love our
that
brothers and sisters.
That we love the brothers and sisters, yes.
Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead.
Yes, yes.
You know, and it is so important... not only to bring your own life back into balance where you can be a happy, productive member of society.
Right.
But it's so important to have that relationship with God.
Yes.
To know that he is your best friend. He's the one right there beside you. He's the one that when you're dealing with a difficult person and you want to just pop their head like a pimple, you can turn to him and talk to him about
exactly.
the situation. And he can give you insight on what's going on with that person and how you can deal with that person so that their difficultness, their negativity, their criticism, whatever, doesn't affect you.
Amen. And it's talking to God. It's not trying to handle it yourself. This is a practice of real love. It's like a medical practice, a practice of medicine. This is a practice of real love. Real love doesn't necessarily agree with everything the other person says or does. But the practice of real love says, the seed of God's agape love down in me loves you, even though I may not like you right this moment and like what you're saying or doing to me, I still love you because God in me loves you. Got it? Yes. Who's wants to comment on that? Which one of you?
Well, you know, I was just sitting here reading, which I was kind of reading ahead of you, but we talked about this yesterday, about loving someone and being in love with someone and falling in love and all of that kind of stuff. You know, I said yesterday...
I can't remember what that feels like, but go ahead.
I said yesterday that love is a choice.
Yes, it is a choice, yes.
And I was just sitting here reading ahead of you in 1 John 4, verse 7. I'm actually reading the commentary on verse 7, but it says in the commentary, you know, John, it says that life is a choice.
Yes.
You know, everyone believes that love is important, but love is usually thought of as a feeling. In reality, love is a choice and an action.
Amen. Choice and action.
1 Corinthians 13.
Yes.
You know, it is a choice. You know, you can choose to be kind to someone, be caring to someone, be gentle with someone, or you can choose to throw your bad mood and the fact that you just got cut off in traffic, you know?
Right.
It's a choice. And I think we all get lost in that because we think that love is supposed to be this warm, fuzzy thing.
It's not. It's not like that.
You know, I mean, there was nothing about Jesus' life that was warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, he was.
To him.
Yeah, he was always telling it like it really was. And
I mean, you think about it, you know, John talks about the fact in First John or in the book of John. John talks about the fact that Jesus was with us from the beginning.
Amen.
When God created this earth,
yes,
Jesus was there.
John chapter 1, verse 1, yes, the Word was, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, yes.
And think about this for a moment, and this may be a hard concept for people to wrap themselves around, but if you get into the Word and you study the Word, you know, you'll understand how all this works. If Jesus was there from the beginning,
right?
Jesus is God's Son. God loves His Son,
right?
You know, put yourself in Jesus' shoes. You know, you're there from the beginning of time. You watch your Father create this world. You watch everything your Father's doing, and then your Father turns to you and says, "You know what? I need you to go down there.
Yeah.
You know, I need you to go down there.
I need you to go.
I'm going to send you down there as a human being." Not as
Amen.
Your heavenly spirit that you
right.
are now.
No, he
I'm
came as
send
human.
You down there as a human baby.
Exactly.
And Jesus has been around, so Jesus has watched what happens when people have babies and they grow up and the things that kids go through and the things that parents go through with their kids. You know, God loved his Son so much that he gave his Son to us.
Amen.
God loved us so much that he allowed his Son to die for our sins.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus loved his Father so much that when his Father said, "You know what? You're going down there." Now, Jesus has got everything he ever needs. I mean, everybody has their own picture of what heaven is. But, you know, there's no sickness. There's no hate.
Right.
I mean, it's just this wonderful place.
Perfection. Yeah.
And, you know, I just have to think that at some point Jesus kind of went, "You want me to do what? You know, you want me to leave this perfection and go down here with all this anger and this hate, you know?"
And he was hated, and he was abused, and he was mocked, and he was, you know, the nails driven through his hands and his feet. Yet he did that willingly. That's what you're saying, Deb, because he loves us, right?
Because he loves us. That's how
yes.
much he loved us. And, you know, look at the portrayal. I mean, you read in the Bible what the Bible has to say about, you know, Jesus' trial and persecution and crucifixion.
Right.
Okay? And then you've seen movies portray what happened.
Right.
You know? If you can't get it from the Word, picture the movie, you know,
right.
which is man's interpretation of it. But, you know, the entire time that Jesus is being persecuted, he's being beaten.
Right. Exactly.
He does not strike out once. He shows his humility. He shows the people that are beating him.
That's because of the love of God in him. That's what you're saying, Deb.
Exactly. So whenever somebody's throwing that up at you, and like I said earlier, I've not been somebody who sits around and goes, "Well, what would Jesus do?"
Right.
Because I just don't say that to myself. But I'm sitting here saying all this and thinking all this. You know, when you're in a situation with a coworker who you just cannot stand.
Right.
You know, and they're throwing all this stuff at you. You know, think, what would Jesus do? Think what Jesus did. He's being strapped to a piece of wood, and he's being beat beyond belief, and he didn't strike back. He showed his love. He showed, you know, just an uncanny amount of caring and forgiveness.
Deb, what I hear you saying is this, that God plants a seed of his agape love in us. And Pastor Jim taught on this a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning at Beacon, that God has put a seed of his love in our hearts. Romans 5:5 says that his love is shed abroad in our hearts. It's in there. And then we choose to grow that love or to not grow it, you know? And mm-hmm. if we are God's children, and we really are, and we understand that we are, then it comes naturally to us to want to grow that seed of love. And John 13, 34, and 35, this is the book of John, not 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John, but this is the Gospel John, written by the same man, says this. This is the words of Jesus in John 13, 34, and 35. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to play our last song, Grace Tells Another Story, and then we'll come back for our wrap-up, and I want to talk about the prayer team and how that is a way to give God's love. John 13, 34, 35 says, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another." This is what Jesus says. "In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other." Grace tells another story. Of time to finish that song, but Grace tells us another story. Grace says God loves you unconditionally, and grace is God's unmerited favor. When we don't feel that we deserve it, God comes along and says, "I love you, honey. I love you. Yeah, you messed up, but I love you. I love you. I love you." And God loves us so much that he gives us the ability to pray for each other. And Alice, I want to tap into the fact that you are our prayer team captain for Beacon of Hope Ministries Global. And you are the one where, you know, it starts with you, and then Deb and Pastor Jim assist you in this, getting out all the requests. Tell us, Alice, how this is an act of love as we pray for people, and what does it mean to pray for people? Can you explain any of that to our audience? And then I'll come back to you guys in a few minutes for final thoughts, because we're getting close here. Go ahead.
Well, I think that one of the greatest acts of love is to pray for people, because you're invoking God's help and God's power and God's spirit into their lives to act in a way to benefit them. You know, if you love someone, you only want good things for that person.
Amen. Yeah.
So, you know, to pray for them, you know, you're asking the highest power possible to act in that person's behalf.
Amen. And speak a blessing and a prayer for them. And it is, I agree with you, the best thing we can do for people is to pray for them. And let's propose this, Alice, that when we do have these difficult people in our lives, that we go to God and we say, God, I don't know what's wrong with Sally Joe over there, and I don't like the way she just treated me, but God, I lift her up to you, and I ask you to bless her, because Jesus says, bless those that persecute you. Bless those that treat you bad. Bless those that hurt you. Bless those. Speak a blessing. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, well, it's not only that, but I know a lot of times that when I was praying for my mom, I would also pray and say, you know, God, show me what I can do. What am I doing creating this situation or making the situation worse, and help me to change,
yes,
to make the situation better,
yes,
and thereby blessing that person.
Exactly.
You know?
Amen.
Because you know, if you're praying for a difficult person and you don't know exactly what's going on in their lives, God knows.
That's
God
it.
God knows how
That's
to fill
it.
Those gaps. God knows how to fill those empty holes in their heart. God knows what that person needs in order to develop a relationship with him.
Amen. And prayer is just talking to God and just saying, God, and tell him just like it is, right? God, here it is.
Oh, yeah.
This is what's happening.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it's, you talk to God like you talk to your best friend.
Amen.
You tell it like it is. You know, if you messed up, then you say, God, you know, I messed up. I know you know, but, you know, I did this, and I don't feel good about it. I messed up. Forgive me. And it's over. It's done with.
Just talking to God. And, Alice, I have began to see that our prayer team on the emails that go out is getting bigger every day. And it is amazing. There's so many people from so many different states and areas of the country that have joined our prayer team. That doesn't mean they go to a Beacon of Hope church. They just simply want to be a part of a global prayer ministry. Tell them right now how they can do that, how they can join this, and there's no cost to this, but except for taking the time to pray the prayers as they come across, right?
Exactly. If people would like to be a part of the prayer team, just send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Or if they have prayer requests or praise reports, you
Amen.
Know, send them to the same email address,
yes,
prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. If I'm busy with work, whatever, and can't get to it, Deb gets to it, or Pastor Jim gets to it, and we get those prayer requests not only sent out, but we also include a prayer, and which makes it a lot easier for the people on the prayer team, because a lot of times you get a prayer request and you're like, okay, yeah, I'll pray for that, but do you really take the time to stop and pray? By putting a prayer on the prayer request that we send out, you know, when that person's reading that email, as they're reading that prayer, they are praying at that time.
Amen. And anybody is welcome to join us, right? They don't have to,
yes,
be a part of the church here. And we want more prayers. We want to grow that prayer team, because there is power in unified prayer. And so prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And Alice, you're doing a great job. Deb, Pastor Jim. Deb, give me some final thoughts about what we're talking about here today. Did you hear me? Deb, did I lose her?
I'm here.
Okay.
I had to hit the mute button.
All right. Okay. We got a delay there. Give me some final thoughts. We've been talking about a difficult subject, people in our lives that are hard to love. Can you kind of give us a couple summary thoughts, and then we'll go to Alice?
Well, I think you wrapped it up beautifully before that last song with the verse from John 13. You know, love one another the way I have loved you.
Amen.
That is of in my book, in my mind, that is the most important thing that anyone should get out of Jesus' time here with us.
That's it.
Is that it was all about teaching us to love each other.
Amen.
You know, there are so many different churches out there, so many different denominations, religions,
sure,
whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And, you know, everybody thinks they have the answer. Everybody thinks that they know the way to God, they know the way to heaven, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is this. The way to God, the way to heaven, the way to an eternal life is in this book.
Yes,
it's
amen.
It's God's Word. And, you know, the Old Testament lays a lot of foundation preparing us for Jesus to come.
Amen. Yeah.
The New Testament, you know, takes that foundation and builds on it and expounds on it. You know, Jesus talks a lot about the old prophets and, you know, what they went through. And he takes that and he turns it around and fits it to our lives
Amen.
Now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about all the rules and regulations and everything. It's about love. It's about treating each other the way you would want to be treated.
Amen.
Treating each other the way Jesus treated us, the way Jesus loved us, the way God loves us.
Amen.
Sometimes it's very hard to get up every day and to, you know, to step out and go to work or whatever it is you do in your life. You know, it's hard to do that sometimes. But if you just remember that God loves you and God's going to take care of you and God's going to be there for you.
That's it. That's it.
And you get that inside that God-shaped hole in your heart. And then you take that and you give it out to other people.
Amen.
That's what life is all about.
Amen. Alice, in a sentence here. We're running out of time. Wow, I know. That's a hard, tall order.
I don't know if I can do it in one sentence, but I can do it in a few.
Okay, go ahead.
To sum this all up, pray for difficult people.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, you know, like you said earlier, God's planted a seed of love in our lives. It
right.
is up to us to grow that seed or not.
Yes.
We don't have to like people. We don't have to like what people are doing. We don't have to like the circumstances in their lives, but we do have to love them.
Right. Amen. I think that's profound, and that's it. And Deb and Alice, you are wonderful. We love you. We love your ministry to us, and we appreciate the prayer team so much, and you're doing a great job. People out there, you can join the prayer team by writing an email to alice@beaconofhopeministries.com. Deb and Alice, thank you so much. I'm going to give some final wrap-up thoughts, and one of them is that the Colts are still ahead 27-17, so that's a real good thing right now. Oh, 30-17, and that's a big praise, God. So my blessed Colts shirt here. Anyway, God bless each of you. We're so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. We want you to join us every week. It's always live right here on Tan Talk, 1340 AM. And tell a friend about this show, Living the Good Life. And you can become a partner financially with us to help support the radio ministry. Your funds will go to the radio ministry to pay for this show. Go to our ministry website, which is gorgeous, beautiful, revamped website, beaconofhopeministries.com, www.beaconofhopeministries. That's got an IES on the end of it, .com. And you can give on the PayPal tab and become a partner in this radio outreach. God bless you. We hope you have a great week. Our services are Sunday morning at 11, Wednesday night at 7, Bible study, 3580 Almerton Road, and that is Clearwater, Florida. God bless you. And guess what, dear one? It's not far to Jesus. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Devin Alice, joining you today on Living the Good Life. Have a great week. Tune in again next week at 4:30. We love you, and God loves you.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you. It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.